I'd like to thank you all, first of all, for coming to listen to me this morning after the great day we had yesterday. I felt like I needed to go home last night and digest what we had. And it was a lot for me to take in. So I'm very grateful that you're here. My wife reminded me when I said that I felt a little bit intimidated and that I was coming after such great talks of so many people that had done so much. And she reminded me that God gives each of us the gifts that he gives us. Yeah. We don't choose them. He gives them to us, and we need to be faithful to carry them out. So I'm here carrying out what God has given me. Amen. And I would like to just spend a bit of time going through what we have, the facilities that we've got in Farming God's Way. And I spent a long time last night trying to work out what I was going to work with and ask God what he was saying to me. And he reminded me very clearly that in Matthew 9, verse 37 to 38, and in Luke 10, verse 2, he says, "The fields are white unto harvest. Ask the Lord to send workers." Guys, you're the workers. You're the workers that God has sent. So I really feel God would say to you today, he would say to me today, don't just listen. Don't hear what others have said. The fields are white unto harvest. Go out and work.
Very good.
Go out and do something that God has given you to do. Each one of you has been given gifts. Go out and give your gifts to the world. Right. Now, if I came to you and offered you a job, and the job description or the characteristics that you had basically, I said to you, is this going to relieve poverty? The answer is, it's proven it does relieve poverty. What's your market? Well, your market is the world, 100% of the world. What capital do you need set up? Less than 1,000 rand. So that's the only piece of equipment that is mandatory. Okay? What is the sustainability of it? Well, it's 100% sustainable. What is the skills transferability of it? Well, that's mandatory. You have to transfer skills to family first. And they will transfer skills further on. And they will do it because you are doing the job. what's the possibility of social upliftment? Well, that's enormous. What workforce at present is currently involved in something that could be turned into this job? Well, 85% of South Africa, 85% of Africa are subsistence farmers. So you've got an 85% of the population that you could use in your job, and you could enthuse them to be part of your job. What product does it give you? Well, who have you eaten in the last 24 hours? Please thank the farmer. So the product it gives you is needed by everybody. Not wanted by everybody, needed by everybody. It's an absolute basic need. Okay? What social area would you be involved with? Well, you'd start with the poorest of poor, the man who has nothing. What's the first instruction that God gave man? We go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. He took man and he put him on the earth. He took man and he put him in the garden, and he told him to look after it and to work it. Now, we heard yesterday about the first mention in the Bible. Well, that's the first mention of anything in the Bible that man's been given by God. So today we're talking about farming God's way. Do you think that we as man have looked after the world the way God wanted us to? Is the world in the shape that God asked us to look after it and care for it and work it? So we've got a lot of catching up to do just to get to the first command that God gave us. When we look at the Great Commission, there's a part of the Great Commission that most people leave out of the Great Commission. It was mentioned yesterday, which pleased me no end, that we need to go to teach them to observe, to continue doing, to observe what God has commanded us to do. And it didn't say, just go to those that you have around you, those that are comfortable. It said, go to all the world. So where have we got to go? Well, the whole world. What have we got to do? We've got to teach them to observe all that they do, all that God's commanded. So farming God's way is not just a program that we have, a nice to have. Farming God's way is not just a farming where we can get guys in the field and get a couple of guys to come with a big process. Farming God's way is actually fulfilling the Great Commission. From the base up, we go to the poorest of poor, and we teach them how to look after the earth and how to change it back to what God wanted it to be. And the message that we have is God's way. We don't go with farming. That's the platform that we use because that's where we've got 85% of the Africa population. I believe it's high in the rest of the world as well, but not as high as in Africa. We have a DVD which I'm going to show you in a little while, and that explains that there's a small portion of the world's GDP performed by Africa, but we have the greatest land mass available for agriculture. Amen. And we could be feeding the world, not just Africa, not just our country. Right, now, I was very, very excited when I got the call that I could come and talk. It's my passion. I really enjoy doing it. So I sat down and I said, well, I'm going to be going to share on this. What am I going to do? So I said, well, I'll give them the first three-day session that we normally give when we go out for training. And what we'll do is we'll show them the biblical things we use. Let's raise that so you can all see it. Yeah, that's okay. All right. Now, can you all see that? Okay. The Bible says go into all the world. You've had your chance. Now these guys have got theirs. Okay. So we base Farming God's Way on three basic circles, three basic spheres. And the first one is biblical. You need to know that without the biblical, Farming God's Way isn't God's way. It's just farming. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. The principles that we go through would be acknowledge God alone, God's all-sufficiency, consider your ways, tithings and offerings, stake your claim, and what you sow, you'll reap. They're all biblically based. 100% we use scripture. the Bible is what we base our teachings on. We then have technologies, and these technologies create quite a stir because it's very, very, very different to what the world has taught you. There are some farmers amongst us here, and they will bear me out. We taught that we destroy the land by plowing. We take everything off the land, and then we add fertilizer, which is a salt, into our land, and we salt the land so that it's useless, and we expect crops to grow in our soils. We come and we burn everything else, and it's the same way as making bricks. You take mud, you put it into a form, you fit it into a pile, And then you set the pile alight and you burn the bricks. And then we make bricks on our field because on the wet soil we burn the crop that we've taken off the field. And we expect our plants to grow in those bricks. So our technology is don't plow, don't burn, and practice rotation. Practice rotation is a very necessary part of farming. You get these monocropping where they grow maize in the same field for 20 years and they say, my maize doesn't grow anymore. Something's wrong. It's climate change. No, no, no. You need to change, not climate change. We then go on to the management section. Now, without all three of these, you don't have farming God's way. You cannot base your farming on one of these spheres alone. You have to have all three in their entirety, and you have to mix them together. They have to become part of your life. Management, we have on time. That's a very important thing. When you look at farmers, farmers know the seasons. They know that if you plant maize at the end of June, you're going to get no crop. Why? Because maize doesn't grow when it's dry and when there's frost up in the northern parts of our country. We have to a high standard. We know, too, that if you throw stuff out and you don't know what you're doing with it, you're not going to get a decent crop. So we work to a high standard. And God has set everything to a high standard. If you basically look at me, and you could go home and look at a mirror, it would reveal the same things for you. My arm comes out of my shoulder so that I can use it and I can wave it around. Okay? It doesn't come out of my hip so that it's not going to get to the back of my head when I need to scratch it. And my leg doesn't come out the top of my head. I'm made to a high standard. You're made to a high standard. God expects you to work to a high standard. Yeah. We then talk about with minimal waste. God has given us the land to look after and to work with, and we've wasted half of it. We've wasted a lot of it. If you go into Lesotho and you see these erosion pits, some of them you could fit the Carlton Centre into. They're enormous. That land is useless. You cannot use it for anything now except for showing people how not to do it. And if you do all of those, you'll have joy. So, I thought I would present that. It takes 3 days to go through that process. And I then thought, well, no. These guys are a little bit more clever than that. They're going to have many questions and they want to go through the process. So 3 days is not going to be enough. So I'll give them the 4-day process that we give to those that we want to train afterwards, because many of them are pastors and would need to know the process. And I thought, well, you know, actually, some of us are very clever. We're teachers. Some of us are theologians. And we're going to have many more questions. And I'm going to really have to do the whole 9 yards on this and give them the full story. So I need 5 days. We could then take them out and show them, give them a practical example of how we do it. I then got the schedule. 30 minutes for a talk. And I thought, heaven help me. I thought, gee, that's not on. That can't be right. That's got to be wrong. And then I suddenly realized, you want to learn what farming God's way is in a synopsis so that you can come back and learn more. I'm not asking you to go away today and say, well, I know what farming God's way is, because you don't. Doesn't matter how long I'm given today to talk. If I spent the whole day, you don't know what farming God's way is until you got involved. I'm asking you to get involved. I'm asking you to work with the poorest of poor. And I'm asking you to release captives. I'm asking you to come and set the slaves free. I'm asking you to break chains that bind. One of the biggest things that we have down here, up in Induma, where I've been working last week, is a spiritual binding that the nation has. We met it in Cotonou and Benin. We met it in the DRC. We've seen it in Zambia. We've seen it in Botswana. We hear about it all over the country, all over the world. The Western world's not free. I believe that we have spiritual bondages that bind us. And one of them that I'm firmly convinced is the gaming that we have on electronic devices. I actually believe that that is a spiritual bondage that binds you people. You start serving the god of the game. And I think we need to be released from that. And Farming God's Way addresses all of that. That's the most important part of it. We're here to release the captives and set those who are bound free. The video shows all of that. And afterwards, if you're interested, we've got some material out there. I know that some of you have already depleted my stock, but that's great. That's what it's brought for. We have trainings around the country, and if you want to have a training in your church, if your church wants to get involved in this, I would love to get you to the stage where you can do it for your own community. I can't do everything. So I'm saying, some of you, come and learn to be trainers, because I really need your help. There's more here than we as a group could ever get to in our lifetime. So we need to get you to get your team on board, to get their teams working with us. And that's what we're asking for today. It's a simple process. It starts at the bottom. You don't need skills to do it. You can be taught all the skills that you need. You just need a willing heart to go and do God's way, serving the poorest of poor on the platform of farming. And please don't get me wrong. I'm not saying stop what you're doing if you're busy in something else. Work in your gifting of what God's given you. And if you're busy in something else, please don't come and stop that and do Farming God's Way. I don't want you to do that. I want those who are not active and not working in something to come and work with us. If you're running a church, we can come and set the church program up for you so that you can get those in the church to run it themselves. If you're working as an employee anywhere, you can come and join us and get the people around you to start working Farming God's Way. And each of you need to eat so you can grow your own vegetables in your own little plot. And we can teach you how to grow your vegetables in a quarter of an acre plot, side of your house. You can take out some of the lawn. You can't eat the lawn at any rate, and it just makes a mess when the dog makes a poo on the lawn. Let's put vegetables there, which is not a mess, and you can eat it. Okay. Right. Now, can we get that video going? I don't see Earl at the back. There is. He obviously had a pre-start on all of you because he's watched the video. It's not a memory stick. I've got a DVD in the DVD player. And he said he'd have it queued on the, it's the first one, the 101 overview. Just while he's getting it going, there will be a list at the back. If you're interested, please put your names down on the list there. My good wife, the best lady in the whole world, will be standing out there looking after the list for us. She will also be collecting money for the stuff which is sold at cost. That has a little bit of an extra price on it from the prices that you'd get on the internet if you ordered that, because we have transport to get it here. Let 101 run, please. Can you start the 101 running?
Oh, your glory shines around us.
Earl, could you get 101 to start running, please?
For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that mankind is without excuse. Have you ever wondered how God would form? In the beginning, He created everything in its place for a purpose. He established His ways to govern His diverse creation so that it would flourish. His handiwork is so glorious that when enjoying it, we must exclaim, "God, Your ways are higher than our ways." The physical laws that God has put in place in creation for the most productive ecosystems in the world include little or no soil disturbance, no destruction or incorporation of the decaying plant material on the surface of the ground, and a great biodiversity of species. God's ways have been on display for us through His creation, and we, His sons and daughters, are without excuse.
Oh, Your glory shines around us, and it's there for all to see. Now the ways of God have been hidden, let them be revealed. The promises, walk in it. Shine bright, let Your glory fill this land. Faith, hope, You know that the blessings are coming.
Man is notorious at being able to destroy God's amazingly beautiful creation. In just 3 years, man's ways can destroy a once highly productive ecosystem to a wasteland. So much so that a crop cannot even be produced in the peak rainfall period. Africa is so large that you can fit America, Europe, China, and Alaska into it. The continent has more resource wealth than any other, but still accounts for a mere 5% of the world's gross domestic product. 750 million people are subsistence farmers, but they cannot produce even enough to provide for their families, never mind make a profit. A family needs about 1,200 kilograms of maize to survive a year, but their average yields stagger around 350 kilograms per hectare. On average, more than 20 million tons of food aid is imported to African shores annually, and the continent has the international stigma of the world begging bowl. When we see these figures and the amount of aid streaming in, one cannot help wondering, is it making a difference? Or are we just perpetuating the dependency syndrome? The poor are getting poorer and poorer, and there seems to be no light at the end of this dark tunnel of hopelessness. Africa is the only continent where the number of hungry people are increasing annually, where on average 1 in 3 Africans are undernourished. Yet we still continue to lean on our own understanding, practicing deep plowing, pulverizing our soils, burning and monocropping. As a result, the agricultural domain is struggling with yields declining, impoverished and eroding soils, and failing farmers are forced into the worldwide trend of urbanization. We have to ask ourselves, what inheritance are we leaving behind for our children and the generations after them? Isaiah chapter 58 says that this is the true fast that God has chosen, to loosen, remove, and break the yoke of poverty, to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, and to shelter the homeless. Farming God's way is an amazing godly solution to the food security and poverty crisis for the rural poor. It is a tool to equip the poor to come out of poverty with what God has put in their hands and to reveal the fullness of His promised abundant life.
Okay. You know, if you give a man a fish, you feed him for one day. But you teach a man to fish, and you feed him for a lifetime.
The promises, promises, walk in it.
The Word of God says, my people perish because of a lack of knowledge. We must acknowledge the importance of teaching the poor faithfulness in the agricultural domain before the rest of the continent's potential can be revealed.
You know, I just want to tell the world that Africa is not poor. Africa is very rich. You find the soil is very rich. Around the world, people have told me that in Africa is where they find very good soil. As I'm standing here, from my feet down, there's the treasures of God. What an investment that God has given us in Africa.
Farming God's way is a gospel of both word and deed to break the yoke of poverty. Farming God's way has a proven track record of success since 1984, where Brian Aldrie first pioneered these practices on Hinton Estate in Zimbabwe on a large-scale commercial farm, eventually cropping 3,500 hectares. Since these small beginnings, Farming God's Way has spread into many countries. Churches, missionaries, and NGOs can create the critical mass of effectiveness needed to roll out this message of hope across Africa and to the rest of the world. Farming God's Way is not just a technology, but a well-balanced biblical management and technological solution for the agricultural domain.
We need to understand that the yoke of poverty is first and foremost a spiritual yoke. And if we only deal with the technical and management keys, we will not be able to deliver the poor.
I wish that everyone that came to this mountain came to worship God and God alone, but it's not the case. People carry up offerings of food in vessels like this to appease their ancestors here, still to this day. Witch doctors and wizards are found in great numbers in nearly every village and are consulted on most things at all critical stages of life. The witch doctors are also brought in to pray over the land so that it will produce a bumper harvest and even bring rain. Often, churches allow and even condone practices like this, and they turn a blind eye to them, justifying them as, these are just cultural practices. This soft line is a major part of the reason why the church in the continent is living under the curse without Jesus' promised abundant life. The temples of our lives are in ruins because we have been serving our own selfish ambitions and futile ways and not walking in God's ways. Let us, as His sons and daughters, be committed to rebuild the temple of God in our lives by considering our ways and aligning them to God's ways. Not just in spirit, but in mind and in body as well. God's all sufficiency is truly all sufficient for every good work. It is a kingdom-based principle of working faithfully with what God has put in your hand whilst trusting for His supernatural intervention.
My name is Fanny. I'm an old woman. Just because I didn't have money to buy fertilizer and to use manure, I just take the untilled soil and put in the holes. And afterwards, I saw my maize doing fine. In comparing where I didn't put the anti-soil soil, there was nothing. For me, I really thank God just because that God has blessed me. I've got something of which I can eat this year.
Let's purpose in our hearts to sow bountifully and with joy. You will also reap bountifully and with joy. Giving to the Lord brings Him honor and acknowledges Him in a way we can't understand. Giving to the Lord forces us to consider a cause outside of ourselves and begins the journey into selflessness, where we put His kingdom before our own selfish end. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their lands." We stake our claim as sons of God by taking Jesus into every area of our lives. Jesus taught us to pray, "Let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." Luke chapter 16 verse 10 says, "He who is faithful in a very little thing is also faithful in much." God wants us to be faithful stewards of the land, sustainably making a profit through practicing farming God's way wholeheartedly. In order for farming God's way to be sustainably profitable, we must address and improve our management skills. The three management keys of farming God's way are doing things on time, to high standards, and with minimal wastage.
I'm introducing myself to you and make sure I'm changing. This is my family. We are working together as a team. If you do everything at standard, then God will really bless you. That's why you are looking at this very, very, very good, nice crop. It is because we have done it at a high standard.
Our basic technology is do not plow, do not burn or incorporate God's blanket. And thirdly, practice rotations. By following the secrets that our Heavenly Father has revealed to us as closely as possible, we will obviously reap the rewards of His ways. We're in the beautiful mountain kingdom of Lesotho, in an area called Maputseng. In the early 1800s, missionaries came to this beautiful nation, and they brought with them the plow. Well, the plow became an instant hit in communities, and if you're a man and you never had a plow, you really struggled to find a wife. As a result of that, vast tracts of agricultural lands were opened up, and it became quite a center for the export of agricultural produce. But it didn't last for long, as you can see in the background here. You see, with God, if you're unfaithful with the little things, He takes it away. And in this case, the folly of plowing is clearly on display. These soils are up to 6 meters deep. They've been terribly eroded, and these bad lands are totally unsuitable for any further agricultural practice. This is a disaster. Each of these runoff trays is at 15 degrees. The only difference between them is this is a normal plowed field surface, and this, same soil, also plowed loose soil, is covered with God's blanket. You can clearly see how the runoff on a typical plowed field is incredibly high. Look at the amount of soil in the bottom of this glass. This is the folly of plowing. In the Farming God's Way trial, even though we used exactly the same plowed soil at the same slope, this one was covered with God's blanket. You can see that the runoff is significantly lower than in this example, and their soil erosion is absolutely minimal. This is God's way.
Maize is the staple crop for most of the poor in the continent, and so in-depth training is based on this crop. However, Farming God's Way has been proven highly successful with a variety of crops, including soybeans, sorghum, wheat, groundnuts, beans, cowpeas, cotton, vegetables, and many more. Farmers are encouraged to run their farms as viable businesses, and testimonies abound where farmers have wholeheartedly implemented Farming God's Way.
In my first time in my life, I harvested from 7 bags to 70 bags. And this maize which I had, I managed even to sell some of it, and I managed to buy my own garden and also the house which I'm staying now. I've seen God really move.
Farming God's way is demonstrated by planting small 6x6 meter gardens, allowing for trainees to see and apply the techniques themselves. These gardens are called well-watered gardens and get implemented before the rains to ensure that people have enough time to grasp the principles on a small scale and implement them in their fields on a large scale. These well-watered gardens are billboards to display God's hope in communities.
My father used to get 3 50 kg bags from half a hectare, the field that which he handed over to me as an heritage. But when I heard about farming God's way, I went and applied straight what I was taught. And the following year, I got 45 50 kg bags from the very same piece of land. And the third year, I got 54 50 kg bags. And just last year, as I'm saying, that was the fourth year, I got 69 50 kg bags, which I give God all the glory, honor, and praise.
Jesus said, "There is nothing that I do that I have not seen my Father do." We as God's children need to humble ourselves and acknowledge that our ways are not working and wholeheartedly follow all of God's ways.
Guys, what excuse do you have? This is farming God's way. It's actually God's way, and these principles can be put into most parts of our practice in our lives today. And we have 85% of our population in Africa who are busy doing it the other way. Where's your market? Where's your ministry? What are you going to be doing shortly? I know I'm going to be doing Farming God's Way because God's called me to that. If you feel a call to that, if you feel that God wants you to be involved, please, I can't do it all. Please get involved. Put your name down. We will make facilities available. There are a number of trainers around the country who can involve you. Keith went down to see my good friend Dan down there at Scottsboro. Toti. Well, Scottsboro, same place. South Africa. And he's one of the good trainers. I was with him 3 weeks ago. We did a training together. And there are a number of other people who are involved in this, and you can certainly get involved. We want all of you who have some time to get involved. I need to reiterate, if God hasn't called you to this, don't step into something God hasn't called you into. I wish he had called all of you. I wish he would bring many more along to join you, and I wish that you could provide for your communities that you live in by using God's way on the farming field. Amen. Thank you.
That's awesome. I'm a farmer, and I've been doing everything wrong. I've got a small sugar farm, and I plow, I burn, I monocrop, and I put nothing back other than toxic chemical fertilizers. So I've been challenged, and I've put my stake in the ground, and I'm starting to farm God's way. Amen. But also, just to this is so exciting. I mean, just to put it in context, guys, Jonathan is working up in Ndumu, and we've got some of the pastors here from the Mdumu area, and he needs help. He's got a huge project there. So I just encourage you guys to connect with Jonathan before you guys go back. And I really think it's strategic. But just quickly, farming God's way. Just take a 50 meter by 50 meter, I mean, and do it God's way. Okay, I'm doing it on our church property. 50 by 50. You will end up, and you do it on time, high standard, as Jonathan is saying, you'll produce 22,000 plants of mealies, which you should get 22,000 cobs. Okay? In our village, in Matubatuba and the surrounds, the guys are selling cobs in town. They boil them, and you see these street vend guys walking around with mealies. And I often buy them because they're really tasty. They boil them, and they're selling them for 7 rand. Okay, as a farmer, 95% of our country could be doing a similar thing and producing 22,000 cobs, 5 rand a cob. I mean, we're talking serious, 110,000 rand. And in fact, in KZN, you could do that twice in 1 year. So, I mean, that is the potential and the reality of what Jonathan's talking about. It really is exciting.